This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. We're glad you're with us here today. And we begin this hour in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma, in the place that was most devastated by its rage. Irma was a Category 5 hurricane when it slammed into the island of Barbuda. It's the smaller part of the island nation of Antigua and Barbuda. It was the storm's first landfall before grinding its way through the rest of the Caribbean and then up to Florida. Irma flattened Barbuda, damaging an estimated 95% of the island's structures. The entire island of about 1,800 people was evacuated. I spoke with Ambassador Ronald Sanders. He's been Antigua and Barbuda's ambassador to the United States since 2015.
The damage is complete. For the first time in 300 years, there's not a single living person on the island of Barbuda. A civilization that has existed in that island for close to over 300 years has now been extinguished. We had to evacuate everybody from Barbuda. Hurricane Irma was a monster. It was 378 miles wide when it hit Barbuda, which is only 62 square miles. So that you can imagine, this was a huge monster and very powerful, gusting at winds of 220 miles an hour, hanging over Barbuda for several hours. The island and the people on the island had absolutely no chance. And this was a Category 5 plus hurricane. What hit Florida was a Category 4, and it, of course, weakened after that. But Barbuda had the full brunt of what has been the most ferocious, the most cruel, and the most merciless storm that we have seen in history.
Has Antigua been able to absorb the population of Barbuda and take everybody in and make sure they have a place to live and go to school?
Fortunately for Antigua did not suffer damage from Irma, so it remained open for business and still is. And we've evacuated all of the people to Antigua. We've got 500 kids. We've got to find school places for almost immediately because, of course, the school term has started. But we've had most of the people that we have brought over to Antigua in shelters. We've tried to make living accommodation as good as humanly possible in these circumstances. Fortunately, we had planned ahead for this hurricane and we had ordered supplies in from Miami in the United States before the hurricane hit so that we were able to deploy these resources to aid the people of Barbuda that we brought over to Antigua. But the living conditions are not great. It can't be. People have been forced into cramped living. You know, they're sharing toilets. It's government facilities in which they are being located. We've opened some others. We've taken a nursing home, for instance, and converted that into accommodation. And Antiguans have been very generous in opening their homes to some of the Barbudans, particularly those with young children. But the situation is unacceptable, and it is costly. We are going to have to keep this going for some time because Barbuda is not going to be rebuilt in a hurry. And when we do rebuild it, we're going to have to rebuild it to massive hurricane standards. So this is going to take a while. There is no electricity there. There is no potable water anymore. There is no structure in which people can survive. So we have a mammoth task on our hands. It is a task, incidentally, to which my government will give its very best, but we are a small island community. The gross domestic product of Antigua is $1 billion a year. So we cannot afford to take on this responsibility by ourselves. Barbuda is not just a disaster, it's a humanitarian crisis, and we are hopeful that the international community will come to our aid, not because we are begging for something we want, but because we are begging for something that is needed.
I want to ask you a little more about what it means to rebuild Barbuda, Ambassador. Basically, human civilization on that island was erased. You mentioned the need to rebuild not just in the way things were, but to rebuild to hurricane standards. Do you have a sense that everybody who came from Barbuda is going to want to go back? Is that island going to return to its pre-Irma state? Or might some people just decide to stay on Antigua or do something else?
I'm sure there will be some who will decide to stay on Antigua. But the Barbudan community has been there on that island for generations, over 300 years, as I explained to you earlier. So there is a very strong feeling that Barbuda is their homeland. And yes, they will want to go back to Barbuda. Plus, that is where all of their possessions are. That's where their ancestors are buried. That's where they were born. The sense of identification with Barbuda is very powerful. And they will want to go back. Barbuda has some of the most beautiful beaches in the world, incidentally. And it's crystal clear water with pink sand beaches. You stand in that water and up to your neck, and you can look down and see your toes. So it's a beautiful place for tourism. What we have to ensure now is that when we rebuild it, all of the buildings on the island can withstand hurricane forces of the kind and magnitude that we've seen, because we believe climate change is here to stay. It's a reality, despite all of the naysayers. We have now to build to cope with it, to have the resilience to deal with it, and to make sure that a crisis of this kind doesn't happen again.
Well, Ambassador, you're speaking to me from Washington, D.C. right now, a place where there's a debate about climate change, whether humans are involved. We're all familiar with that debate. We're going to be talking about it later in the show as well. Is there a debate in Antigua and Barbuda? Do people there have any doubt that climate change is affecting their lives and will in the future?
None at all. We absolutely believe that there's climate change. And we know that these things have occurred as a result of the profligacy of countries that are rich and have abused the system. And we, unfortunately, who contribute less than 0.0% of the pollution of the world's atmosphere, are the world's greatest victims.
Do you have any sense of the price tag for rebuilding now in your country?
It's a rough estimate because we have not really been able to go in yet to do the kind of assessment that is needed. The Canadians, who sent in a team yesterday, I think will help us to make that assessment. But the rough estimate is that it's to the tune of $200 million.
And you would like that recovery aid to come from where? A combination of countries, from the United Nations? Do you have an idea there?
Well, we've declared a state of emergency in Barbuda because it is a complete disaster and uninhabitable. But Barbuda is not just a disaster, it's a humanitarian crisis. And we believe that the international community should respond to a humanitarian crisis in a humanitarian way. And we would hope that the major countries of the world would want to sit with us to look at the sustainable development plan that we will produce and to help us to fund it. We cannot cope with it from our own resources alone. No country with a sudden influx of 3% of its population could possibly deal with that rapidly. It doesn't matter which country it is. It's worse for countries that are as small as mine, whose resources are extremely limited. And I have to say that if Antigua had been affected, we would have been in great trouble. Fortunately, Antigua remains open for business, so tourism and so on is still continuing. But had we not had that, and had we not had that income, I have no idea how we would have survived.
No country in the Caribbean hit harder than Antigua and Barbuda. Barbuda essentially wiped out by Hurricane Irma. Ambassador Ronald Sanders is the ambassador to the United States from Antigua and Barbuda. Mr. Ambassador, thank you for joining us, and we wish you the best in helping your country rebuild.
Well, sir, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Let's go northwest in the Caribbean now to the U.S. Virgin Islands. Those include main islands like St. Croix, St. John, and St. Thomas. There are some surrounding minor islands as well. But at least four people were killed when Hurricane Irma hit those islands. Dr. Eugene Doc Peterson is a native of St. Croix and a retired veterinarian who's now a singer and a musician, and he's a part-time radio host. Now, Doc has been using the airwaves to help people in the neighboring islands that have been more severely affected by Irma. Doc Peterson, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello.
Doc, how you doing there on St. Croix?
St. Croix is doing very well. It's the other island, the other neighboring islands, especially to the north of us, that got hit pretty hard.
And so what have you all been doing there in St. Croix to help out?
Actually, it turned out well because St. Croix is being used as a staging area to bring in supplies to service those areas that were hit very hard. We have an excellent airport here in St. Croix, so the big military jets could come in and land and FEMA could get their supply into St. Croix, and then either by boat or by small airplane and helicopters, take the supplies over to St. Thomas.
Now, Doc, you're on the air there in St. Croix, and probably your signal goes to some of the surrounding islands, too. People listen to your show, and I know they're calling in. Tell me how you're using your show.
Unfortunately, for the first 4 or 5 days after the hurricane, after Irma passed through, many of the radio stations on those islands were down for various reasons. The antennas got knocked over, or there were no electricity, of course, and so they were off air. Now they're coming up one by one, but here in St. Croix, our station, WSTX, which is an AM station, was able to reach out and disseminate information. And we get the information from the regular weather channel, NOAA. So after the hurricane hit, we're able to give pertinent information as to where, you know, searching for individuals that were lost, or if we have people that are looking for individuals, we could have their names registered here. And then if the person call in, say, I'm okay, then we could contact that person or have them listen to the station and know that their friends and family are safe and sound. The Red Cross, the electric company, the medical hospital, everyone uses not only this station but other stations on the island to disseminate that pertinent information.
Doc, I want to make sure that I ask you about the federal response. You mentioned FEMA planes landing in St. Croix and staging there. Have people been satisfied with the response from Washington and the federal emergency aid response so far?
Yes, you know, in the past, some of the response had been very slow, and so there were some complaints with some of the other hurricanes. This particular one, it seems to be playing out fairly well, but like everything else, people are hurt, they're confused, they're wondering about their future, they're wondering about their jobs. If you ever had the opportunity, which I hope you had not, to go to bed one night or go to bed in the evening and wake up the next morning with everything that you own been destroyed and in disarray. The banks are closed. The hospital is damaged. You have people that need medical attention, such as dialysis patients and things like that, that needs to be taken care of immediately. And, you know, you could tell, you could see what kind of stressful situation that is, and people would be frustrated and feel out of whack. But I think that this particular time that things are flowing, FEMA was here, we saw some of their activities. Some of my friends who live near the airport, their big complaint now is that these big jets are flying in and out constantly, and of course, you know, they make a lot of noise. So, but there are a lot of activities, helicopters going back and forth. And a lot of that, even just the buzz that goes on, gives the people that are in distress, some confidence that something is happening.
That's Eugene Doc Peterson, a native of St. Croix, retired veterinarian, singer, musician, and part-time radio host there in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Doc, thanks again.
Thank you.